This is KUNC. On Valentine's Day, love is in the air, even at the most unlikely of places, like the Denver Zoo. Well, sort of. KUNC's Stacy Nick spoke with one zoo official who helps nature take its course. And as it turns out, it's more than just the birds and the bees.
Holly Coulihan is vice president of animal care at the Denver Zoo. She's also the species survival plan coordinator for lions for the National Association of Zoos and Aquariums. That means she decides which lions should go to which zoos.
We really look at zoo populations. We want to have populations that are sustainable for the long term. We don't frequently pull animals out of the wild anymore. A lot of people think that's where animals come from, but most of the animals you see in zoos were born in zoos. So the genetics and the demographics of those populations become really important. We need to look at their pedigrees and make the best matches for breeding.
And how do you do that? How do you play? I mean, essentially, you're a matchmaker. How do you do that?
We have a couple of computer programs that we use. Every animal gets an entry in a database that has his or her whole life story in there, and then we can put that database into a program that does a lot of projections and modeling, and it's like a, you know, online dating for animals. But we look at different things, obviously, than people do. So first we look at demography. So we're looking at having the right number of animals in, right number of females, right number of males, young animals to old animals. We have a limited number of spaces in zoos, so we don't want to breed too many and then run out of space or not have enough, and zoos have empty exhibits.
Does it? I hate to anthropomorphize, you know what I'm saying, but is there kind of elements of that where you have to kind of look at personalities and kind of who works well? Do you feel like you're kind of a matchmaker sometimes?
Yeah, there is another layer of, you know, a lot of what we do, we call it a blending of art and science, and so there's an art layer that goes on top of this of the staff really knowing the animals' personalities and understanding what they're doing and what they're telling us. But then sometimes you do. You just have animals that, like, they just don't connect for whatever reason. It's fairly rare with lions, but every once in a while we do see two animals that just don't get along for whatever reason.
So right now at the Denver Zoo, you have a group of four male lions, all brothers, and you also have three females. Just in the last month, you brought in a new male lion, Tobias, specifically for breeding. How do you handle the introductions?
First, they get to see each other, maybe from across the hall, and then we do what we call a howdy, which is there's generally a fence in between the animals, but they can sniff each other and kind of touch each other. And if that all goes well, then we put everybody together.
So if the introduction goes well, everything's fine. But if it doesn't go well, how do you handle that? How do you handle it if the first date doesn't go well?
Once you put a bunch of 300 or 400 pound lions together, there's not a lot you can do. They sort of run the show after that. If things don't go well, then we'll separate them and we might take a couple of steps back and try again. I might try some different techniques. Sometimes waiting until the females are cycling, then they're a little more receptive to a new male, so we might try that strategy. But it's usually just backing up and kind of taking some baby steps forward again.
After our conversation, a first date for two rare tigers at the London Zoo, which is not a part of the U.S.'s Association of Zoos and Aquariums, had a much more tragic ending. A male Sumatran tiger killed the female during their introduction. While nothing like that has happened at the Denver Zoo, it got me thinking about one recent unsuccessful mating that made the news involving the zoo's beloved polar bears. This fall, they were moved to separate zoos, in part because they weren't successfully mating. There was a pretty big outcry because people didn't want them to split up. But as Holly Coulihan noted during our interview, they weren't actually all that fond of each other.
What we would see here with Leah and Cranberry is during that sort of magical time of the year when she, you know, when her hormones made her want to be with Lee, they got along fantastic. But that only lasted a few weeks, and then she would be done with him and tell us they didn't want to be together again. So I think that is a place where, you know, sometimes we do tend to anthropomorphize, because as humans, you know, we sort of project what we think of as long-term monogamous relationships onto animals.
Coulihan says there are several notable couples at the Denver Zoo, including a pair of Gibbons apes, which in some cases mate for life.
It's a less common social structure, but it's definitely one we see with some animals. And when we talk about managing animals across zoos, that is something that we look at. So while it would be very normal for us to switch out male lions every few years with a zoo, it wouldn't be normal to do that to a species where the animals, if they were pair bonded and really got along, then we would be more hesitant to do something like that.
So fear not, romance is not dead at the Denver Zoo. It's just complicated. Happy Valentine's Day. Stacy Nick, KUNC, Denver.
Hush, my darling, don't cry, my darling. The lion sleeps tonight. Hey, hey, hey.